The Revenue Committee.
I'm going to go right to Fayetteville.
And welcome everybody here today. We have three bills up for hearing this morning. Also, I understand that we may have an earthquake drill sometime during the morning today. And my staff instructed me that the instructions on the drill are thus. And this is going to be fun to watch. Number one, you cannot go out in the hall during the drill. Number two, you are supposed to either find a place under a table or under the dais. So you're first come, first served. But also, lobbyists are not permitted to lobby while under the dais with members.
Bring your own wine.
April Fool's. Members, we're not permitted to continue to discuss a bill while we're under the dais. I'm serious. These are all part of the rules. And you think I'm making this up.
Yes.
And you also can hide under the desk or your chair if you can fit. So, what? I'm serious. Let me just say, I am conveying this truthfully. It'll be fun to watch the video.
Once again, Mr. Chairman, I just want to thank you again for putting me at this end of the dais.
So, during the drill, we have some extra space under the dais, and anybody's welcome. First come, first served. Other than that, you're on your own. Okay, that said, but I do understand that one of the rules is you may not go running out screaming in the halls. So, that said, we'll do some shaking of our own here and open a public hearing on House Joint Resolution 38. And glad to welcome Representative Dennis Richardson, I think, for your first appearance before the Revenue Committee. Is that right? All right. Paul, do you want to tell us, just give us the overview while we welcome Representative Richardson?
Mr. Chair, the HJR 38 would increase the percentage of net lottery revenue dedicated to the Education Stability Fund, which was created last September under Measure 19. Under certain conditions, which would be an increase in total personal income, resident personal income in Oregon, of greater than 3% after adjustment for inflation. The amount of dedication to the Education Stability Fund would increase from 18% to 30% in the following biennium. The bill also does modify the Education Stability Fund by eliminating the cap, which is when it exceeds 5% of general fund, goes into the capital matching subaccount. The subaccount remains in existence. The measure is submitted to voters in the next primary election, which would be in May of 2004. I did work out, just rough out some numbers for you to look at on HJR 38. We do, in the March revenue forecast, do anticipate growth above the 3%, more than 3% above inflation in the 2003-05 biennium. In fact, the growth estimate is about 6%. For the two-year period. And if indeed that forecast is realized, then the amount of dollars going into the Education Stability Fund would increase from $122 million under current law to about $203 million, an increase of about $81 million as a result of going from 18% to 30%. So it would up the amount going into the Stability Fund. There would be a couple of issues that would be need to be clarified in statute, such as which inflation index to use, timing of the personal income measure. But those would all be pretty straightforward issues.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Richardson, good to see you.
It's good to be here. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am no expert on educational funding or revenue, but I'm grateful to be here. I've presented this bill because I've noticed since we began this session that the focus initially, as far as educational funding is concerned, was on the bridge. How do we make it through the current biennium? And that has been dealt with and solved. And now the focus is on what are we going to do to fund education during the next biennium? And certainly that is a tremendously high priority. But there's a third priority that I feel must also be viewed during this session, and that is, what about future funding for education? We are in the desperate position that we're in because of a recession and because educational funding is tied in with the stock market and the economy. And so this committee, and certainly Chairman Shirley, you were a primary mover of it, has created the Education Stability Fund, which is a true rainy day fund, and yet if it has no funds in it, then it doesn't do a whole lot of good. And so although current educational funding is the highest priority, it's during times of recession that we must plan for the future. And this makes certain that the havoc that's currently being felt in education will not be duplicated in the next recessionary cycle. What I've seen over time is that during times of recession, the question that is asked is, you know, why isn't there a rainy day fund? Why isn't there money so that we don't have to have our children and their education suffer as a result of inadequate funds? And yet, during times of economic expansion, our memories are short and minutes. Now, wait a minute. There's all this money, and all you want to do in the legislature is create more programs, and so we want to make sure that doesn't happen, and so don't take a dime more than is absolutely necessary. So the purpose of HGR 38 is to pass a law while we're in a time of recession and our memories are clear, that will not take effect until after the recovery is in full swing, after 2 years incomes that have been increasing by at least 3%. So after there's economic recovery in full gear, then the funding of this additional funding for the Education Stability Fund will begin. Presently, as we all know, as of July 1st of this year, there'll be 18% of the lottery money that will be going into the Education Stability Fund. This bill merely says that that 18% will increase by 12% after 2 years of economic expansion. And so after 2 years of economic expansion, instead of 18% of the lottery proceeds going to the Education Stability Fund, that amount, that figure will go up to 30%, and it will make a difference initially of about $80 million biennium. Currently, the way the proceeds from the lottery are coming in, we have about $118 million in a biennium that come toward the Education Stability Fund. This would increase that by $80 million to, you know, roughly $198 million, and depends on when it would kick in, of course. But that extra $80 million over time with compounding will help there to be sufficient funds, hopefully, so that when we enter the next recessionary cycle, which is inevitable, whether it's 8 years from now or 15 years from now, but when that day comes, there needs to be enough money in the Education Stability Fund to assure that the education for our children and our grandchildren is not directly related to the occurrences in the stock market.
All right. Thank you very much. Questions for Representative Richardson. Representative Berger.
Pardon me, Mr. Chair, this isn't really a question of Representative Richardson. Why is this a House joint resolution? I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
It'd be a referral for a constitutional amendment.
Got it.
Okay. It does amend the Stability Fund, which is in the Constitution.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Representative Hass.
Thank you. What would we do with that gap of paying for schools as we go operational? That will be smaller since there will be less to draw from the Oregon lottery, assuming it continues to succeed as it has been. And that's mm-hmm. not a safe assumption. I don't think that we can generally count on that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hass, certainly when money comes from one part of funding and goes to another, there's going to be a gap. The reason that we've delayed the implementation of this bill until after the economic recovery is in full swing is to assure that there is additional income taxation and whatever other sources of revenue the legislature chooses to have, but that money will be in place. We all know that no matter what happens, there's never enough money. No matter what session it is, there's always discussion about new programs and how it's going to be spent. And 2 years from now or 4 years from now, there's going to be discussions about how we're going to fund education. And that will be focused on current funding for education, and it will be extremely difficult in those conversations to talk about additional monies that will be going to fund the Education Stability Fund for the future. And so while our memories are clear about the problems with recession, I'm suggesting that we look at passing a law that in the future will fund the Education Stability Fund, and the legislature will deal with the current biennium every 2 years as it has in the past. It will just have to do it with a little bit less of the lottery money, because that is going to go for the future.
Follow up.
Yeah, sure.
I guess I just, you know, would quarrel with your phrase that you had, that the legislature will just have to find some new revenue for schools somewhere. And that's the, you know, the elusive holy grail of this place in terms of finding ways to pay for schools. It wasn't just in this recession that schools had a funding problem. It was during largest expansion, the economic expansion this state has ever seen, that there were funding problems.
Mm-hmm. And, Mr. Chair, Representative Haas, that's exactly my point. That will continue. That's an attitude. We are the legislature. The legislature is addicted to money. And there's never enough. There's always going to be discussions about how we're going to raise more money for education. But while those very discussions are going on, they will be focused at current needs, not at future needs. And because of that focus, when we have our next recession, when this cycle completes itself again, if we don't take action now, I don't believe we're going to be able to have enough revenue in the Stability Fund to deal with the next recession.
We're not going to count that as a drill. Is that a drill? That was only a tremor drill. It was not an earthquake drill. Any other questions, Representative Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you're right in that the legislature is addicted to something, but I think that we're addicted to lottery money, not just money. And Oregon has become more and more dependent on gambling and the proceeds of gambling. If this money starts going directly to this fund, will that make people more interested in increasing gambling in Oregon because it is going to something that they believe in, even if and gambling is legal in Oregon, so that's not the issue here. But the issue is how we're going to be treating this and how is the perception of our children that their education actually is on the back of gamblers.
Chair Shetterly, Representative Berger, I can picture this conversation where John is leaving the house to go gamble, and Mary is saying, "Honey, don't leave." And he says, "But Mary, I'm doing it for education. It's for the kids." I want you to know, I do not have the answer to these kinds of policy questions or even the exact financial questions. All that I'm trying to do is put on the table an issue that could be lost because of the focus on our current funding needs, and that issue is that there must be planning ahead so that when the next recessionary cycle occurs, that there will be sufficient funds in our only rainy day fund, the Education Stability Fund, because without that planning now, it is unlikely that it will get any attention during the recovery period. As far as whether this should be changed, amended, I would leave that to this committee's expertise. I merely wanted to get this bill on the table so that this will be an issue for discussion and not lost during this current session.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? I have a technical question and maybe one for you as well, Representative. Mm-hmm. Paul, right now we've got, under current law, we have 18% of lottery, net lottery, going into the Stability Fund until it reaches the 5% cap, in which case then it's stepped down to 15% and pours into the capital matching subaccount. This would eliminate the cap on the Stability Fund, and it eliminates the... It also eliminates the provision for the transfer of 15% to the capital matching fund, obviously, then that's tied to the cap. But the capital matching fund is retained. How is the capital matching fund segregated from the Stability Fund?
I think the answer to that, Mr. Chair, is line 31 there on page 3, where it says there's created a school capital improvement sub-account. And then it says the legislature may by law appropriate, allocate, or transfer monies or revenues to the school capital matching sub-account.
I think there would need to be some statutory language as to how that account would have transfers from the stability fund.
Okay, is that your understanding that this would pay into the stability fund and that it would take, there would be no automatic transfer of funds mm-hmm. into the capital matching account? It would take legislative action periodically to move correct. Money from the stability fund to the capital matching account.
No reminder.
Okay. I just wondered mechanically how that was supposed to work. Other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very
looking
much.
Forward.
You're
back. Good to see you this morning. Does anybody else wish to testify on HJR 38? What are you all doing here? They're here for 911.
They're here for the earthquake.
They're here for the earthquake. Well, they heard this at this dais had the most room, the most space of any dais in the building. All right, then we will close the public hearing on House Joint Resolution 38. Kathy, would you see if we can find Representative Patridge? We'll stand at ease for just a couple of minutes until we are able to locate Representative Patridge for House Joint Resolution for the next two bills. I saw him wandering around down the Ways and Means area.
Huh? These both have subsequent,
yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
they're.
Okay, we will reconvene the House Revenue Committee. I hate to disappoint everybody, but Representative Patridge has indicated that he's not inclined to have a full hearing on these bills this morning. And so what we're going to do is tap them in. Dick, I'll ask you just to explain in turn what each one does. I understand we don't have any testimony signed up on these, that we don't need any testimony. We won't be doing anything with these this morning. We will just tap them in. And then we will adjourn, so you can all go find your own place to hide for your earthquake drill. Let me do that. Let me open a public hearing on House Bill 3227. Dick.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Richard Yates with Legislative Revenue. You have really a three-bill package, or three bills which are tied together, two of which you're hearing this morning. Third bill is House Bill 3226, which establishes a regional 911 enhanced 911 reporting system, essentially a five districts statewide. The bills before you, the 3227, which you're dealing with now, provides the funding for that. For establishing that system, and the next bill provides a system of bonding associated with it. So what the current bill does is increase essentially, or it's a little bit confusing to me exactly what the bill does. If you look at the changes in Section 10, what it seems to do is dedicate the existing 75 cents to the tax. Currently there's a 75 cent charge per month per access or per subscriber who has access to the 911 emergency reporting system. And that money goes to the Office of Emergency Management and also flows through to the local public safety answering points. And this seems to dedicate the 75 cents existing tax rate to those uses and then allow an additional rate over and above that for the purposes of establishing this regional system. Then when you turn it over and you look at Section 5, it says that the Department of Revenue, in consultation with the Office of Emergency Management, will set the rate so as to provide the necessary funding for the current use as well as the debt service that's anticipated in the next bill. And so it's quite possible to me that that rate, as determined by the department, could be below 75 cents. So it's not clear that it is an increase, but it certainly changes the method by which that rate is set.
Well, that is a mystery that we will leave unsolved for today. With that, thank you, Dick. I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3227. I'll open the public hearing on House Bill 3168.
Again, Mr. Chair, what this bill does is to provide the additional revenue that's raised in 3227 is to be used essentially to as debt service, and this bill directs the Treasurer, with the, at the request of the Office of Emergency Management, to issue revenue bonds based on that revenue source, again, for the purpose of establishing and transitioning to a regional 911 emergency reporting system as envisioned in this House Bill 3226.
Okay. All right. With that, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3168. I apologize for those of you who came ready for blood support this morning on these bills that we're not able to accommodate, but sometimes that happens. Committee, count your lucky stars. We've got hearings from here to eternity scheduled out in some days next week. Eight tomorrow. Okay, yeah. So enjoy your day. Rest up. And we are adjourned. 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. 8 o'clock tomorrow morning we start time. Yeah, we're getting into the last few weeks before we need to finish hearing House bills. So 8 o'clock start time tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Okay. We're adjourned.